pocket. Huh? Huh?
Goodbye, buddy.
Oh, Charlie, I'll miss you.
Yeah. I'll miss you too, Squeaker. Now you go to sleep.
Charlie, will I ever see you again?
Sure. Sure you will, kid. You know, goodbyes aren't forever.
Then, goodbye, Charlie. I love you.
Yeah. I love you too.
Hasn't it?
Hold on. Wait. First and foremost, hi, my name's Harmony, in case someone is new here. Welcome. Great to have you. In case you're wondering, you're not gonna hear a story that's gonna make you think, oh, that's full of puppies, rainbows, and butterflies. Nope. This is What the Actual F, a place that I like to come and share with you stories that are leave you thinking, well, what the actual F was that? Because, well, that's the kind of stuff that I love to read. Murders, hauntings, conspiracies, and so much more. Love it, give it to me, I'll tell you all about it. Now before I tell you the story I have today, which is a doozy and one that's gonna give you real nostalgia. All my 80s and 90s kids, oh yeah, buckle up and get your tissues, you're gonna cry. If the audio in the beginning didn't already remind you of a place when you were growing up and the world was so big and different, the 80s and the 90s were just a different time. But the movies in which our victim were in are just, they are childhood core memories of movies. Land Before Time, All Dogs Go to Heaven, come on. Jaws the Revenge, that's one of them, but it's not like Jaws, but it's still Jaws, okay? Like, but still, Land Before Time, ain't a kid around that don't know that one. Ducky, oh my god, I love Ducky, oh my god.
I am not a long neck, I am a big mouth, but I am all alone, I am. I lost my family in the big earth shake.
You want to go with me?
Yes! Oh, okay. Oh, yes, I do.
Who didn't love Ducky? Oh my god. And of course, my personal favorite, my absolute all-time, remember this movie, it brings up all the memories of my childhood, All Dogs Go to Heaven. Anne Marie. I had a weird connection with her there because my dad was in the service and my mom just wasn't really around, so I watched a lot of All Dogs Go to Heaven and I really connected with her in that movie, even though it was a cartoon. And you know what? I really loved Charlie. That movie just gives me the feels. So if you were growing up in the 80s and 90s and you remember this case, I'm sure right now you know you're gonna cry like a baby because this little girl was us. You see, many kids growing up wanted to be, well, a child star. Judith Barcy really seemed to have it all. At least everything a 10-year-old kid could ever want. She was a famous star. She was literally living the dreams that many children dreamt. A decade into her existence, she'd appeared in over 70 commercials. Several primetime television shows like Punky Brewster, The Tracy Ullman Show, love that one. And as stated, The Land Before Time, an iconic movie, and of course, Jaws the Revenge. And of course, All Dogs Go to Heaven! I'm so sorry, I'll never do that again. But, sadly, why we're here is because in Judith's life, her family had a very tumultuous and toxic, scary, terrifying, and violent existence. It's sad and heartbreaking. Judith and her mother, Maria, lived in constant fear of her father. Yosef was a troubled man, to say it nicely. To put it kindly, he struggled with addiction with alcohol, and when he would drink, which was very often, he would threaten his family with insane amount of violence and sometimes get slightly physical. It seemed as though Yosef was a bit jealous of his daughter. Maybe because he wasn't a famous star and at such a young age he didn't get to be where she was. Whatever the reason, as her fame grew, his resentment did as well. Yosef wasn't just angry at Judith, though. He was also enraged at his wife, Maria. Maria was there with her on set. She helped her daughter in her career, so of course Yosef was so angry. He didn't even want his daughter in this because he couldn't, so why does she deserve it? I don't know. I honestly don't understand parents that have some sort of disdain and, I don't know, jealousy and resentment to their... I don't understand. Be proud. Love your children. They're doing amazing things. Don't be a Yosef. Ooh, it's a new curse word. I love it. Don't be a Yosef. That means a shitty parent. The thing is, why we're here is the violence in the house wasn't just threatening. It would all come to acts of absolute savagery, where one day, suddenly, all of the Barcy family would be annihilated. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to a long-awaited episode. And before we really begin, I will say, if you're curious where I've been and want to know, stick around at the end of episode before I say goodbye. I'll let you know. But right now, let me tell you the story of Judith Barcy and the death of Ducky.
Ever since Mom and Dad found out that Donald Duck is 100% pure orange juice, they've been acting kind of funny. I mean, I know it tastes good, but really?
Honest, a giant green gorilla drank it all up.
Oh, please. We don't know what to do with them anymore.
Oh, well. Maybe it's just a phase.
Donald Duck, the 100% pure orange juice in the new juice block. Easy to store and open. Microwavable, too.
Ronald McDonald in
Way Out Desserts.
Up on the planet a lot, where it's always hot, kids didn't have cool desserts.
That hurts, but McDonald's desserts are so cool and so neat, even up here there'll be a delicious treat.
The kids love them all.
Shakes, sundaes, and cones.
Ronald brought lots to share. Handy found kids are the same everywhere. It's a good time for the great taste.
Thanks, Ronald.
You're welcome. McDonald's.
Like every snack from Fruit Corners, new fruit wrinkles are made with real fruit.
There's your eyes. Here's your nose.
They're a good source of vitamin C.
Here's your mouth.
In spite of that, Julie thinks they're pretty neat.
Oh, don't look sad. You look cuter with a smile.
If it comes from Fruit Corners, it's made with real fruit.
I love your eyes.
Help, help, I can't see.
Fruit Wrinkles, from the makers of Fruit Roll-Ups and Fruit Bars.
Now that we're parents, we better learn to cook.
First lesson, make sure your peanut butter's chipped.
The difference is just peanut out of your taste. The best you mean the world to me.
More peanutty than any other big brand we've tried.
For your special ones, it's the taste for peanutty.
Being a parent myself, I've tried all the big brands, and Jif has more fresh roasted peanut taste.
Marvelous. Not in front of the children.
Barcy. She was born in Los Angeles County in California on June 6th of 1978, the daughter of two Hungarian immigrants. Her father was Yosef István Barcy. Her mother, Maria Barcy, or previously Nivyarvyax. Both of her parents had independently fled after the 1956 uprising.
They actually immigrated at completely different times and met in a restaurant in California. Yosef went in to just have a cup of coffee, have maybe a pie, a burger. I don't actually know what he went in to eat. Maybe he was strolling down the sidewalk and saw her through the window and was like, hey, she's hot. I don't know. She would go on to be his waitress, and the two, having previously been married, just fell in love quickly, apparently, and got together really soon. Now, despite living in Hollywood, Judith was just kind of low on choices for stardom because she didn't have any formal training and her parents weren't in acting like many of the stars at the time. Both of her parents were working class immigrants, meaning they weren't exactly rubbing elbows with the elite. They weren't schmoozing with the Hollywood crowd. They had no entertainment connections. However, Judith had a hormone deficiency, one that I really couldn't find the specified kind. I couldn't find the exact one. I'm sorry. There were different names and different accounts, so I'm just going to say she had a hormone irregulance, and it kept her at a rather small stature. She never grew above 3'8". And her iconic voice never changed. It allowed her to keep so many roles because this hormone deficiency kept her young. She did try to have hormone therapy at UCLA, and despite all of this, it just didn't seem to work. Though Judith did look very young, she still was socially and very intellectually developed compared to at least like other co-stars that were portrayed in the age realm that she was, because she often played younger than she was. However, this didn't make it weird or anything. She was very popular, especially with the producers, because one, she looked and acted younger than she was. She had a very vast age range in the child acting era. Well, I don't want to say era, sorry. In the child acting time, I guess. Like, you know, there's only so many years you can do child. Do you get what I'm saying? I hope you understand. Also, sorry if you understood like right away and I went on farther. That's ADHD for you. Sorry. Brain just wants to be sure that you understand. Now, she also got a lot of compliments from producers because she was very well to respond to do what she was told. She was easily instructed, and when she was told to act, be, or do something certain, she never argued. She, as they said, she complied. She just did. She was so well behaved, easier to direct than all of the other children. She just did what she was told. Sadly, we probably can guess why. When you come from a home of abuse and fear, you don't exactly not do what you're told. Because if you don't do what you're told, let's just say it's scary. And therefore, that sort of spreads into the rest of your life. And you do what you're told, and you apologize if you don't. And you just try to not bother or be a burden to anyone. It's just so sad to know that the reason she was so well behaved is because it was beaten into her. And what everybody thought was just this really great little girl was a terrified child.
Frito-Lay has a new flavored Lay's brand potato chip. It's called
jalapeno and cheddar.
Okay, I got it now. New Lay's
jalapeno and cheddar.
No other chip can say it. No one can eat just one.
Man.
In 1984, Judith would receive her first major acting role. This is when she appeared in a little miniseries called Fatal Vision. Then the following year, at the time, the 7-year-old would go on to appear in 6 television projects. This included the Wes Craven-directed episode of the 1980s The Twilight Zone revival. All of a sudden, this little girl was bringing home almost $100,000 a year. That's a lot, by the way, back then. A lot. Once you adjust this, by the way, for what is our, quote, current inflation, okay, I feel like on the low side, as I was given to 79 is not accurate, so I'm going to give more closer to the high side, which was about $360,000 annually. And that's not bad. That is not a shabby existence. In fact, I wouldn't complain. I don't think you would either. Widget didn't think so. Especially at a whopping 7 years old. You want to know how much money I was bringing home at 7? $0 all year. In fact, I cost my parents, so, like, I don't think anyone will complain.
While she had so many new roles constantly coming her way, she was able to comfortably fund her family's 3-bedroom home in San Fernando Valley.
You don't know where that is? Fantastic! I've never been there either, but through the power of Google, I can kind of let you know that it's in an area of Los Angeles. Apparently, it's like super close to the Warner Brothers Studios and the Walt Disney Studios, so just perfect for her. Now again, as she was getting all of these roles that would leave her this iconic, just, story, her father was going to quickly change her story from an icon in Hollywood to an icon in true crime. Yosef's resentment for his daughter and his wife was just growing at a rate that just, it's disgusting. I can't get behind, understand, or comprehend how, but it was happening. I guess because he was just shoved aside as the family's maid breadwinner, which apparently hurt his ego. Poor little fella. Don't you hate it when people just project their insecurities on the world? It's disgusting. Yosef, who was already a rather angry fella, his ego getting damaged, his temper, which would only be increased when he would drink, because he would also get in bar fights for some reason. He was just an angry dude. However, he couldn't really escape this newfound fame of his daughter because she was genuinely getting these major roles. Roles. Words are difficult. However, for some reason, he couldn't be happy for her, and he got angry with Maria because Maria was taking her and being there for her and supported her. He kept trying to fight to have control of his family. He wanted to have the reins back. This resentment he had wasn't just resentment. This was hatred. This was pure hatred. And his lifestyle only fed it more. As Judith was rising, Yosef was falling. And he was about to pull everyone down with him.
You like waffles?
Oh, yes, very much, thank you.
No, thank you.
This is the most beautiful house I've ever seen.
Well, thank you, Anne-Marie. Where do you live?
I live with Charlie. He's my dog.
Oh. But what about your parents?
I don't have any parents.
Then where do you stay?
With Charlie in the junkyard.
Oh, my. Anne-Marie, you sit right there. Honey, come with me. We can't let her leave here with nowhere to go.
I know, honey. She could stay in the guest room. The authorities straighten this out, of course.
Psst. Oh, Charlie. Harold and Kate are really wonderful. They weren't upset about the wallet. They gave me real waffles with butter and syrup.
Really? Well, that's great. Look, I'm glad to see you, you found a home for yourself.
Oh, do you think so?
Sure, sure. In fact, I just came over to say goodbye.
Goodbye?
Yeah. Well, I guess you won't be needing me anymore.
Maybe you could stay, too.
No, I couldn't stay. I mean, I don't want to spoil it for you. They don't want a dirty old dog like me in a nice, clean house like this.
But Charlie...
Don't worry about me. I'll make up somehow. Oh, by the way, you were the best friend I ever had. Enjoy your waffles.
Charlie?
Besides the fact that Yosef would get into many bar fights whenever he felt like it because he was drunk and angry. Again, just projecting insecurities everywhere. He had other violent altercations fueled by his excessive drinking. Yosef was arrested 3 times in Los Angeles for driving under the influence. Now, he was also never formally charged in connection with any violent acts, but he did get in trouble. You know, like, For some reason, when bar fights broke out back then, they were like, well, you better not do it again. However, he did continue to also fight and drive drunk, so, like, obviously it wasn't working out so well. A lot of the abuse that was going on against Maria and, of course, Yosef's daughter, Judy, the reason we're here, it wasn't specified. But those who were close to the family recognized and sort of recounted how regularly he would threaten to kill both his wife and his daughter. Because, you know, that shouldn't have made anyone go, you know what, we should tell the police. We should say something to somebody, right? No? Okay. I don't know about you, but if somebody was like, yo, you know what I want to do on, like, next Tuesday? What's that? Kill my wife and daughter. I'd be like, what? I'm sorry. I had crazy in my ear. You want to repeat that? What did you just say? And if you could, speak into this, because I'm going to record it. Make sure I get it right when I go to the police. But apparently, back then, you just don't bat an eyelash because people said crazy things. However, one of Yosef's friends, Peter Kevlin, later came forward and shared that he actually was told by Yosef that he wanted to kill Maria over 100 times. It wasn't just like in passing, like, I'm so angry I could just ride to the moon. No, this was like, I'm just gonna fucking kill, I swear to God, just 100 over, not even like 20, 30, which is still in excess already, but 100 something. What the? Get a divorce, my dude. Anyways, the most terrifying thing that I read about what Peter said, about when he shared and recounted his experience of knowing Yosef, was, you know, like, hey, what do you think would happen if I also killed, like, my daughter? You know, like if I just, like, got rid of both. Like, what do you think? What do you think? Which he didn't really say anything, but then, because he didn't, he said, well, what do you think of me killing Judith? Like, I have to kill her too, right? I have to kill her too. All of this, by the way, was simply because when Peter first heard him stating, oh, I'm gonna kill my wife, Maria, like the first few times he was like, oh yeah, okay. But it got to like 40 or 50, and eventually Peter looked at Yosef and was like, what about Judy? What are you gonna do with Judith? And that's when he started being like, I guess I have to kill her too. So what do you think? Should I just kill my wife and my child? And then it just continued. However, there are other witnesses, people that would constantly hear Maria speak about the abuse and the threats of violence. It is claimed that she tried to get away and rent an apartment in nearby Panorama City. This is so she could kind of just like escape Yosef during the day with her daughter. Even though she took the steps to kind of get away there and here, she didn't formally leave him. Therefore, Yosef still had a rather tight control on both Judith and Maria. Apparently, in one of the other stories I read, Judith was once playing with a kite in the front yard. She was just outside, actually having a really great time, when suddenly her father snatches the toy from her, and of course, she's like, what? And just starts crying, so instead of apologizing and being like, oh my god, I'm sorry, like, my bad. Again, I don't know why he would have just snatched it, but like, he could have apologized and been like, ah, sorry, I had a crazy moment there. Instead, he turned to Maria and said that their daughter was a, quote, spoiled brat. Because, you know, she didn't know how to share her things. It's not sharing if you snatch it, Sorry. I had to calm down. However, what people were hearing and seeing was not even an inkling of the actual abuse being experienced by her father. Again, we're not exactly sure, but there's still a lot to share about what happened to Judy and her mother.
Hi, Mr. Longtail. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Will you be in the race tonight?
A sore foot? You shouldn't run.
And Twizzle has a cold? She should drink soup.
Oh, Squad Car has the flu. Oh, my.
Hurry it up. Hurry it up.
I'm sorry. So who do you think will win? Oh, I see. The spotted gray.
Killer.
Uh-huh.
Shift the odds on the spotted gray and feed the kid.
Oh, boss, do I have to? Oh, boy, where did you buy that thing?
But
Mr. Carface, you said I could go outside today.
At this point, because Yosef was such a piece of shit, he started to kind of figure out that Maria was basically like wanting to leave. Because I don't know who the hell would want to stick around with that shit. So obviously, he's starting to really lose control, and this makes him want to even tighten his grip more. Judith and her mother Maria were supposed to be departing for the Bahamas because Judith had just landed a role to work on Jaws the Revenge. Before they were leaving, Yosef grabbed Maria, held a knife to her neck, and said, "If you do not return, I will cut her throat." I don't actually know how he planned on doing that. Like, was he gonna fly out there and do it? I don't know. But he threatened them, and they took that as very real. People did tell Maria, "Hey, you should leave. You need to move out." And she would tell them, I can't. He will find us and he will kill us. She said that he even threatened to burn the house down, that he would stop at nothing to end them if they left him. The physical and emotional violence and manipulation and abuse toward Judy and Maria escalated. A few people started to notice that there were signs of abuse. In fact, Judith's agent, Ruth, noticed that the young child had gained some weight and even started plucking out her eyelashes. Gaining weight isn't really a big thing. Like, yeah, okay, maybe she's stress eating, but like, she's a kid, like, so what? But I get it, in the Hollywood lifestyle, gaining weight is bad. But the whole, like, pulling out your own hair, yeah, that's a red flag. Another thing that caught people's attention, being rather strange, was in an audition in May of 1988, Judith suddenly, like, inexplicably burst into tears. This had her agent believing that maybe she needed to talk to someone, like see a psychiatrist, a counselor, something. This counselor actually determined that this young girl was experiencing significant abuse. And this counselor's or psychiatrist's findings were actually reported to the Los Angeles County Department of Children and Family Services. But, Maria, I'm so sorry. I said I wouldn't sing again, and I'm not going to. Probably, but maybe, I don't know. She decided to step on in, and she stopped it from really going any further by just intervening in the investigation. She stated that she had actually planned to leave Yosef, so like, you don't have to worry about it. It's totally fine. It's okay. Like, don't go to him. It's just, please don't. And if you don't tell him, then I can leave safely. But if you do, then he's gonna find out about my apartment and it's gonna be really bad. So she stopped it. This made the department close the investigation completely, which, as we know, was worst because, well, shortly after, a murder was going to occur. Actually, two murders were going to actually, no, it was going to, things bad were, it's bad.
Dear God, thank you so much for my new best friend, Charlie. And thank you for sending him to rescue me.
Hey.
And God bless Mr. Itchy.
Yeah, bless Itchy.
And God bless Charlie. Amen. Oh, and please help me find a mommy and daddy. Charlie?
What?
Do you think you could help me find a mommy and daddy?
Kid, I'll help you find the lost city of Atlantis. Just please, please go to sleep.
I really can't give you the best details on what happened to Judith and her mother, but this is what has been figured. Investigators believe that in the early morning hours of July 25th of 1988, Josef slowly crept into his daughter's room, taking his gun, aiming it at her, and shooting her as she slept. Hearing the blast of a bullet in the night, Maria leapt out of bed and ran into the hallway. It was there she was met by her husband. Without a moment, he shot and killed her. Josef remained in the house with the bodies of his deceased daughter and wife for 2 days.
On July 27th, at around 8:30 in the morning, a neighbor by Eunice Daly reported hearing a gunshot that came from the Barcy home. When police arrived, they discovered Yosef in the garage. He had taken his life with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. However, prior to him doing this, he also went into the house and doused both Judith and Maria's bodies in gasoline and then lit them on fire. And that is all I can tell you of what happened, because we really don't know. I mean, I really wish I could tell you more of what happened, but we don't know. Three people are gone, and one of them is responsible for all of it. Yosef was garbage. And in case you don't know what that is French for trash.
Charlie.
Yeah. It's me. How you feeling, kid?
Okay. How are you?
Well, I come to say goodbye.
Where are you going?
It's on a little trip. Listen, Squeaker, I want you to do something for me, all right?
Uh-huh.
I want you to take care of Itchy. You know, just while I'm gone. You got a home now, and he doesn't have anybody.
Don't worry, Charlie, I will.
Great. Well, goodbye, little buddy.
Oh, Charlie, I'll miss you.
Yeah, I'll miss you too, Squeaker.
The most tragic part of this is Judith's most iconic roles, the ones that absolutely defined her career, were released after her murder. The Land Before Time was released in 1988, and All Dogs Go to Heaven in 1989. Both of these films were wildly successful, which truly shows you that Judith's star had just begun to shine. She could have ascended up into the ranks of very well-known working child actors to a prominent star. Here's the even sadder part. Yosef having been their only family and now dead. And of course, Yosef and Maria being immigrants, there was no family to give them any sort of arrangements. Nobody could do anything formal for them. They were buried without headstones in the Forest Lawn Hollywood Hills Cemetery. But there's a minor happy update about this, because in 2004, an online fund was established to purchase a headstone for their plots. Judith's headstone would read, "In memory of the lovely Judith Eva Barcy, 1978 to 1988, our concrete angel." Yep, yep, yep. And that is the heartbreaking story of Judith and Maria Barcy's murder. Though Yosef as well met his end, he is not a victim. Instead, he has left a stain on Judith's life and her legacy. That resentment he had for her becoming famous, he still had to try and overshadow in death, because he now goes down in infamy with her. That, my friends, was the horrible case of Ducky and her death.
Ready to sing goodbye?
I am.
Okay.
Cool. Until we meet again, I say so long, farewell to you, my friends. Goodbye for now, until we meet again.
That was the tragic story of Judith and Maria Barcy, who tragically met the end of their lives by Yosef the Igarapsad. BTW, in case you don't speak Hungarian, that means piece of shit.
I don't know what kind of monster it takes to murder your own wife, but also your own child. I just will never understand half of these crimes. But that doesn't mean I'll stop telling them to you. Because it seems that we as humans just can't stop killing each other. Speaking of dying, how are you doing? If you're still here, are you curious as to why I was gone? This year, it's no secret, has been crazy. It's been a lot. It's been hectic for, I think, everybody. I've had some stuff going on with my health, which one way was supposed to be something and is now something completely different. I've taken some time, and I'm sorry I couldn't focus on the podcast because, quite frankly, it doesn't really pay a whole lot compared to other things and more jobs that I had to take. I'll be here more, I assure you. I'll do what I can and make as much content for you here as I'm able. I do miss it, and this is something I enjoy very much. And until I get some more sponsors again, it just doesn't pay the bills. Ooh, want to sponsor my podcast? Send me an email, whattheactualeffharmony@gmail.com. Besides that, if you do want to follow other forms of my content, that way you don't miss me, check me out on TikTok and Instagram. My name is Oh Hey, It's Harmony. And of course, you can email me if you have an interesting story, something you want me to check out, or anything. If you're bored and you're like, you know what, Harmony? What are you doing? I can't promise I'll respond, but I'd love to hear from you. Nonetheless, thank you for checking out this episode. Thanks for checking out this podcast. And most of all, thanks for listening to me talk, because, you know, I don't even like to do that sometimes. I'm kind of annoying. So, you get brownie points for toughing it out. Gotta love ya. Now, before I say goodbye to you, please stay safe. Seriously, it's a scary world out there. There's ghosts, ghouls, goblins, monsters, and of course, your friends and family that might kill ya. So, please remember, I love you and stay safe, because I don't ever want to tell a story about you. Before I do fully end this, I do want to say, just in case I don't create an episode before 2024, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and Happy New Year. I love you. Don't ever forget that. Bye.